Good morning. In reverence for the reading of God's word, if you're able, please stand. Now we're reading selected scriptures from the Old Testament, and we're also going to read from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And in this reading from the Old Testament, what we hear is God speaking to us, and then you hear a response from the psalmist, and as if we are speaking as well back to God as he reveals his kindness and goodness to us. So hear the word of the Lord. In a surge of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. And our response, answer me, O Lord, out of the goodness of your love, in your great mercy, turn to me. Give me a sign of your goodness that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. In Paul's words to the Galatians in chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is the word of the Lord. Yes, thanks be to God. You may be seated. You know, Christ is continually manifested to the world through his body, the church. And on this second Sunday of Epiphany, as you've heard, we're in the season of Epiphany, that the manifestation of Christ to the world continues through his people as the Spirit of Christ produces his fruit in them. So we're coming back to our series in Galatians, picking up where we left off, focusing on the fruit of the Spirit. And this Sunday, we're focusing particularly on kindness and goodness. See, the Spirit reproduces in us the kindness and goodness of Christ so that we might continually reveal Christ to the world. Now, it is this work of the Spirit that he is developing in us Christ's image. So here's a story that underscores the importance of this truth. And this is a story that appeared in the Montgomery Advertiser in April of 2017. And it's about the First Presbyterian Church in Montgomery, Alabama. And it illustrates this truth of what the church does reflects on Jesus Christ. The story goes, a black woman walked into First Presbyterian Church in the early 1970s, taking a seat midway up the pews. As soon as she sat down, a white woman stood up and left. She was not going to sit through that service with a black person sitting in the church. Dan Reed, now 59, remembers from his youth. I was ashamed of that white lady, to be honest with you, ashamed of the prejudice she showed. His father was a deacon of the once bustling congregation. This instance was symptomatic of an attitude that plagued the church since at least 1956, when it adopted a motion decreeing no member of the Negro race will be received as a member of our church or seated in the sanctuary for regular worship. People referred to it as that church that wouldn't let black people in, the one that stationed deacons outside its doors on Sundays and turned away African Americans who wanted to worship there. That in 1961 did nothing when violent protests of the Freedom Riders spilled into its parking lot next to the Greyhound bus station. Young men and women, both black and white, had boarded a bus that would stop in Montgomery in an effort to show the nation that the South still was not accepting desegregated transportation despite what had been ordered by the courts. When they arrived, they were severely beaten. When that riot happened, First Presbyterian Church was literally right next to it. The church should have been open and the membership of that church should have been trying to reason with the crowd to calm down. At the very least, should have been providing sanctuary protection to the Freedom Riders, said Reed DePace, pastor of First Presbyterian. Some of you know Reed DePace, and I've learned that he was at one time an intern here at Grace. He was a part of our presbytery back, well, it's been 10 to 11 years ago whenever I came here. But he's the pastor of First Presbyterian. The proclamation, the sins of omission, the decades of blatant racism took a toll on the congregation. Membership dwindled from the thousands to its current membership of 50. DePace sees the church decline in membership as a direct result of the sins of their forefathers' prejudice, a manifestation of their spiritual inheritance. Because of this, and because they're sorry for what happened, the congregation of First Presbyterian Church has spent the better part of the past 2 years confronting that past, learning why they should repent of it, and hoping for new life in light of it. DePace slowly unpacked this concept in an 18-part sermon series explaining to the church this teaching's roots in Presbyterian theology. You know, it's a great thing if you can get the newspaper talking about Presbyterian theology. Oh, oh my, I love it. Yes. He wanted them to understand that this series wasn't just about political grandstanding or making a show. This was about the message of the gospel and Jesus' integrity, he said. Yeah, they understood that what the church does reflects on Jesus Christ, that it is about the message of the gospel, and it is about the integrity of Jesus Christ. Because you see, Christ is continually manifested to the world through his body, the church. And what an unkind thing it is to not allow people to worship because of the color of their skin. That's such a departure from the command of Jesus that said in Matthew 28 and verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But what a good thing it is for the church to repent of its past and to do it in such a public fashion. You see, the Christian church cannot divorce itself from its Lord. How people view Jesus Christ is in some measure understood through how they see the church. So if you find a church that's not kind and therefore is devoid of goodness, then its problem is really with, in DePace's words, the message of the gospel and Jesus' integrity. See, the church makes Jesus Christ known. And the manifestation of Christ is accomplished as the Spirit produces Christ's kindness and goodness in each believer. And Christ's kindness and goodness are reflective of the kindness and goodness that God shows to his people. The kindness and goodness continues to grow in us as we make our boast in the God of the gospel. And that, I just gave you the outline. I know you can't write that fast, but I'll repeat it as we go on. So the manifestation of Christ is accomplished as the Spirit produces Christ's kindness and goodness in each believer. The text says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Now, this has been something that was stated before, and how the Spirit is the one who produces the fruit and grows it in us. You'd have to go back to last early October, September, where these sermons were preached. But you can go back and in here, as Jonathan preached on this, on how the Spirit works to grow grow the fruit in us. But it's worth being reminded that the kindness and goodness that is mentioned here is not something that we produce naturally. They're supernatural. So that means it's not a matter of behavior modification, but it's a matter of regeneration. That the Spirit is doing the work of making the believer new. See, this is the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus when he told him that he must be born again. In John 3, verse 6 and 7, Jesus said, the flesh gives birth to the flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. It's the Spirit who is at work. He's in that new... you know this is true. Has anyone here birthed themselves? The Spirit is the one. The Spirit does this work. None of us can... We didn't get this started. God does by His Spirit. This means that the work of the Spirit, it's not something external. It's not dressing up on the outside, but it's from the inside out. Jesus said this about the Spirit's work in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. He said, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him. For He lives with you and will be in you." See, it's the Spirit's purpose to be with us and to live in us. Now, living things produce, right? And that's a sign of life. You know it's alive because it produces. And since He is living in us, what will He do in us? See, Jesus said in John 16, verses 14 and 15, He... the Spirit of God will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So the Spirit of Christ, he will produce in us that which belongs to the Father and the Son. And what is it that's there? What's theirs? What is it that's there? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, humility, gentleness, self-control. All of these things, faithfulness, all of these things belong to the Lord. They are His, and it is the Spirit that gives them to them. They are the fruit of the Spirit. See, what a good God it is that we serve. But why does it? Why does the Spirit bring to us that which belongs to the Father and the Son? Jesus answers this in John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. He says, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about Me. And you also must testify." See, what Jesus is saying is that all the love and the joy and the peace and the patience, the kindness and goodness of the Father and the Son is brought into the lives of believers by the power of the Spirit of God so that they can testify to their kindness and goodness. Isn't that good news this morning? Yeah, the Spirit of God is at work not only to do you good, but to make you good as well. Hallelujah. Yeah, see, now this is the reason why you should pray for your bad neighbors if you think they're bad. Because it's just as God made you good, He can make them good as well. So, see, that's the kindness of God. However, there's more. Because not only is the manifestation of Christ accomplished as the Spirit produces Christ's kindness and goodness in each believer, but this kindness and goodness is reflective of the kindness and goodness that God gives to His people. You see, Christ's kindness and goodness are reflective of the kindness and goodness that God shows to His people. See, the word that's translated kindness in our text has the idea of a compliant willingness to be serviceable to others. A compliant willingness to be serviceable to others. And the word that's translated goodness carries the meaning of active benevolence. Now, can you imagine that? That God's kindness is serviceable to others. What does that mean? Well, I think two verses in our Old Testament reading tells us something about the kindness and goodness that God shows to His people. The one is the Lord speaking. The other, the psalmist is speaking in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 8, where the Lord says, "In a surge of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer." And the psalmist replies, "How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you." You hear the serviceableness and active benevolence on behalf of others in these verses? See, Isaiah is telling us that instead of His wrath, God would much rather give us compassion through his everlasting kindness. And isn't it good news? It's good to know that the anger of God is but a moment, but his kindness and compassion is forever. Hallelujah. See, the psalmist is lost in wonder over the enormity of the goodness of God. That instead of the shame and the humiliation that he was suffering under and deprivation, and you know, as you read Psalm 31, where he's feeling the pressure of being put down by folks. But here in the Lord, he finds that there's this abundant supply that's in the sight of men for all those who take refuge in the Lord. So here's the idea. Here's the idea that God's kindness seeks to give compassion. God's goodness seeks to overwhelm with a mighty abundance for those who take refuge in him. And you put these two thoughts together, and you get Jesus Christ, who describes himself in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Oh, there he is, that compliant willingness to be serviceable to others. And to give his life a ransom for many. You put these together and you get Peter describing Jesus in Acts chapter 10, verses 37 and 38, where he says, and he acts as if, you know, this is just common knowledge. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. And you see, the kindness, that compliant willingness to be serviceable to others, is what God shows to his people in Jesus Christ. And the goodness, that act of benevolence, is what Christ brought to us in that when he takes on our sin and bears the wrath of God. Isn't that ironic? There's an irony here that Christ had to suffer the worst kind of cruelty, having the Father's face turn away from him in anger, in order for the kindness and goodness of God to be brought into our lives. And see, Christ taking on this cruelty is the kindness and goodness that is reflective of the kindness that God shows to his people. And see, this is the unexpected twist in our understanding of religion, because when we think about religion, we think about, you know, I do good, I behave, I go to Sunday school, I'm in church, I'm in worship, you know, and God should bless me. I mean, that's the way we think, but that's not the picture here at all. So it's the unexpected twist. And this is why grace is so arresting. It's so shocking and counterintuitive that in order to be kind and good to us, God had to be cruel to Christ. Is that shocking? See, Paul said it earlier in this letter in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. He said, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. To hear something even more shocking, is this is the kindness and goodness that is the fruit of the Spirit, that the Spirit is producing in each believer. Yeah. See, this kind of changes the whole definition of kindness and goodness, doesn't it? You know, it kind of changes it. You know, and it, you know, it can look far more out of the box than what we think. Here's an illustration. This happened back in 1962 in New York City. John Sergeant Cram, millionaire philanthropist, was arrested for harboring drug addicts in his apartment. He explained to police that he didn't know that it was against the law to feed and clothe drug addicts, and that he was spending about $100 a day feeding destitute persons needing help. He rented the apartment because he wanted to avoid the red tape involved in setting up a charity, and he wanted to see his firsthand help begin immediately. He made a point of not giving the money, he told the police, because it only went for cheap wine. Cram, who was known in the area as Papa Dio, Father God, was cleared of any complicity in crime after dozens of witnesses at a hearing told of his kindnesses. He left the courtroom amid wild cheers from his neighbors. Later, he told the press, "I don't know that my work does much good, but I don't think it does any harm. I'm quite happy, you know. Call me eccentric. Call it my reason for being. I have no other." Now, you see, he understood. This kindness, I don't have another reason for living. This kindness and goodness, it puts itself in harm's way in order to see God's kindness and goodness brought into the life of someone else. You see, it's far more than saying please and thank you. You know, or picking up behind yourself because your mama or your daddy told you you should do so. But don't get it wrong. Now, see, it is, if your mama tells you to pick it up, you pick it up. So, but it's not being kind and good to those who are kind and good to you. Oh yeah, you should do that, but it's more than that. You know, it is kindness for those who hate you. It is doing good to those who persecute you. It's offering a blessing when you're being cursed. It's feeding your enemy when they're hungry. It's giving them a cup of cold water when they're thirsty. See, it's taking on the cruelty, the pain, and the suffering of others so that the kindness and goodness of God is brought into their lives. And I know, you see, that's not the way we think of kindness and goodness. But this is what the Bible presents to us. So how you respond to that? Because I don't have that in me. Exactly. The Spirit of God has to produce it. There are two ways that you can respond to this. And one way leads to bondage. The other will liberate. One will harden your heart. The other will soften it. One is the way of religion. The other is the way of grace. One boasts in itself. The other boasts in God. You see, the problem in Galatia was that there were others who were coming in, and they were teaching them that what Christ began, that this liberation, this freedom from your sin, this freedom from the bondage of sin, that somehow you can complete it by keeping the rules and by working hard at it. You know, I've heard this passage preached this way before, where it's the fruits of the Spirit, and you can have these things in you if you keep all of the rules. You can work by adding love. Next week, add some faith, and in a month, you know, you tack on some kindness and goodness. But that's the way of bondage, brothers and sisters. That's the way of bondage. See, the fruit of the Spirit is such that you can't have love without having kindness. You can't have joy without having goodness. You can't have patience without having kindness and humility. You can't have self-control without having love. You can't. All of these are together. The scripture says it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. You see, the way of religion would parcel and compartmentalize them so as to make them manageable and palatable. But the way of bondage and religion, see, that's what was happening there at First Presbyterian in Montgomery, Alabama in 1956, where they had been rejecting people of color from worship and church membership. They were kind. They were good to people who were like them. But they were not going to suffer any unkindness in order to see God's goodness brought into the lives of others. You see, you can't produce the Spirit's kindness and goodness by gritting your teeth and trying harder. That'll only make you harder. And if it could, it would only make you boast like the people in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, where Jesus said, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" See, what are they doing? Well, they're boasting in their kindness and their goodness. That's the wrong way. Now, someone might say, "Well, you see, this is why I hate religion. It's too hard to know what pleases God. You know, I would say you're partly right, yeah, for your disdain of for merit-based religious self-help. Yes, yes. But when it comes to pleasing God, he told us what pleases him. See, that's, yes, this is the last point. The Spirit's fruit of kindness and goodness continues to grow in us as we make our boast in the God of the gospel. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, we hear plainly what pleases God. Jeremiah says, the Lord is speaking. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. See, there it is. God delights in his exercise of kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. But where has he exercised these? He has exercised kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, while he was on the cross. You see there, you know, you realize that that's what the cross is about. This is the, as one writer said, the living significance of the Christ who was crucified, that this is it, that it was the God of justice is what was happening there. The kindness of God was being revealed there on the cross. Righteousness that God desires for the earth was happening right there at the cross. And this pleased God. And so when the disciples, the Father would say this of the Son while they're on the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples would hear this. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. You see, God is pleased with Christ. And if you're in Christ, God is pleased with you because of Christ. So hear what the Lord says through Jeremiah. Say, don't boast in your smarts. Don't boast in your abilities. Don't boast in your money. These are all attempts to save yourself apart from God. He's not pleased. He's not pleased with your attempts at kindness and justice and righteousness. He is pleased with the work that he has done, the kindness and the justice and the righteousness that he has worked into those who believe, who have taken refuge in him, in his Son, Jesus Christ. Boast about this. So let me ask you, are you growing in the kindness and goodness of the Spirit? It can happen in so many ways. It happens in small ways. You may not experience martyrdom. You may not experience anyone cursing at you because of your faith in Christ. You may not experience that. So you might think these are extreme examples. But yeah, just like the folks there in Alabama, it's in small choices. It's in small ways. It's in so many small ways. See, God has answered the psalmist's prayer. He's no different than us. Show me a sign. Give me a sign of your goodness. He has given us a sign of his goodness. It's there in Jesus Christ on the cross. It's making your boast in him will keep you growing in the Spirit's fruit of kindness and goodness. See, Reed DePace got it right. He got it right with the people of First Presbyterian of Montgomery, Alabama. After that 18-part sermon series, Reed led the congregation in a challenge to publicly put their name to a resolution of repentance. And the Montgomery Advertiser, the reporter, interviewed one of the members, Priscilla Stewart, who had come into the church in 2004, and she was on the committee that brought Reed DePace to First Pres in Montgomery, Alabama in 2008. And the reporter said, this was her tearful reaction to this. Priscilla says, there's nothing that we did that would make God desire to love us or to want us to be part of his family. Yet, because of grace and because of mercy, he chose to do that for us. And if that has been done for me, how could I not extend that to you or to my neighbor or to anybody that lives in that community, she said. It very quickly became an issue for me of, am I going to just continue to say these words, or am I going to put actions and personal sacrifice and conviction behind what I say I believe? And you see, they got it right. Repentance and faith is how the Spirit gets the change started in the life of believers. This is how, you know, so if you're not a believer, it's repentance and faith. Repentance and faith gets this growth of the fruit of the Spirit of God happening in your life. And it's our work of making Christ known is fueled by our knowledge of the kindness and goodness of God that is revealed in the gospel. For there in the gospel, brothers and sisters, what we see and what we hear is a love divine, all loves excelling. Let's pray. Our Father, we do see in the message of the gospel, Lord, such a great love for us. Father, and we pray that by the power of your Spirit that you would continually produce in us that fruit of the Spirit. Lord, beginning with love and joy and peace and patience, producing kindness and goodness in us on behalf of a community that needs to see Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, our city needs that witness. You gave your Spirit to be with us and to live in us in order that we might testify of your kindness and goodness. Help us to love each other and to love our neighbors for the glory of your name, Lord Jesus, and by the power of your Spirit. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.